All right, let's wrap up this basic element here, or basic terms here, with a bit more vocabulary. We're going to talk about covariance and just a handful of other concepts based in laws in statistics. Now, there's just a couple more terms that we're going to discuss in this segment, but there's plenty of more vocabulary to learn and master. So the quiz sections will have some vocabulary practice for you. But more importantly, as you run across any term or concept that you don't quite fully understand, it's time to do a little research. Dig into your references or send me an email or get online with the CRE Prep site or with the CRE Preparation Group on LinkedIn and find yourself some answers and get familiar with these terms, because it's going to be that speed element during the exam that is going to really help you. And a lot of these vocabulary type questions show up in two different ways. One, just straight definitions and what's this word mean? But more importantly, is buried inside of other questions. And so they're going to ask questions that are using this vocabulary, and without a solid understanding of it, you won't understand the question. So let's look at a couple of other things that are likely to show up in one form or another. And they're also used in statistics and the field of statistics to varying degrees. The coefficient of variation is a way to take a look at the relative spread of different groups of data. So whether I have samples or population data, I just basically normalize it, the standard deviation values, by dividing by the mean value. So I use the statistics of sample standard deviation or the sample mean, or I use the population parameters of the standard deviation, population standard deviation, or of the population mean, and multiply by 100% to get a percentage. And these values will then allow you to compare different spreads, relative spreads of data, independent of where they're centered. So if you have two sets of data that are, say, an order of magnitude apart on their actual values and where their means are, you can still determine which one has got more or less spread about its mean relative to the size of the data that it's dealing with. So a 10% spread is a relative value, or a 10% coefficient of variation is a relative value to where the mean is. And so it's one tool in our toolbox to allow you to do this. A coefficient of variation is used in a variety of different ways. I don't run across it too often in application, but it's something to keep handy because you may see some questions about this. Now, this one is actually handy. Now, we pretty often make the assumption that our data is normally distributed and then use the normal distribution to make judgments about where the data is located, where's the bulk of the data. So with a typical normal distribution, within plus or minus two standard deviation, we expect about 95% of the data to be within that range of four standard deviations, plus or minus two. But that's only when it's a normal distribution. A t-distribution will be relatively close to that, but it'll be a little bit less than 95% within plus or minus two standard deviation. And then Weibull and log normal and exponential and other random distributions of groups of data will be further and further away from that assumption of a normal distribution. So the basic idea here is that Chebyshev, some time ago, he's a Russian statistician, did some analysis and sorted out that at least three quarters of the data will be within plus or minus two standard deviation. And the general rule is that I think the way the theorem is actually stated is not more than 1 over k squared, where k is the number of standard deviation on either side of the mean, will be outside that boundary. So 1 minus that is the complement, and it's the area inside that boundary. So within plus or minus 3 standard deviation is about 8/9 of your data. Now for a normal distribution, that's 99.7%, well, 8/9 is a little bit less than that. And so it provides a convenient way to bound how many standard deviation capture your data, especially when you know it's not a normal distribution. So it's pretty handy. One more law, and that comes in pretty handy, and it's one of those basic underpinning elements of our statistics world and statistics discussions. The basic idea is that the larger my sample from a population, the better the estimates, the sample statistics will be better, to use improper English, but will be more accurate in estimating the population parameters. So it makes sense if you just do a quick thought experiment. If I have 100 units in my population, if I take just one sample, it's going to be fairly inaccurate in creating an estimate of what the true parameters are. But if I take, say, 95 samples out of a population of 100, the mean value and the standard deviation values will be fairly close, actually very close, to the actual values. And so it supports the notion that if we're going to take samples, getting a large sample is better than a small sample. But it also is an underpinning piece to much of the theory that allows us to use samples in order to make estimates and confidence intervals and all of those other features, which we'll talk about in future lessons. All right, so a little bit of language is kind of like having the right tie on at the cocktail party. It gets you in the door, and now we can talk about statistics and how it applies in the world of reliability. So in the future lessons and sections, we're going to talk about probability and a handful of other things. And to some extent, being a reliability engineer implies that you're also a statistician. So we'll get there, and it's something to keep in your toolbox and use at a regular basis. So next, we'll dive into some of the fundamental elements of what is probability.